Jesus is coming soon, calling all men on earth. Many will be gathered, trumpets will sound. On the day shall rise, righteousness in the sky, knowing that no one dies, heaven will find. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Now, once again, in our able to gather together, Lord, the best we can in this troublesome time, in this situation, O Father, that is in the world today. Yes, Lord. There are people that are just feeling for fear because what's coming upon this earth, even the situation of this pandemic, has so much fear, Lord. There's a lot of paranoid behavior that's among the people, Father. And there's a lot of stress also among the people because of the fear, Lord. But Father, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but you have given us a spirit of sound mind and faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord, Father, in the word that we know that you have given us the promise. And you are faithful, Father, to your promise word. And we know, Lord, the thing that you have given us, the word that you have given us, the promises that you have given us, Father, all those things will not pass away. It will come into fruition, Lord, and it come to fulfillment. As far as your people are concerned, O Lord, a blessing poured upon them, Father, in this time. And we thank you, Lord, for what must come to pass according to that prophetic word. Then, Lord, it must be fulfilled. Your will be done, Father, Lord. Let your people, O Lord, rejoice in you in times good and bad, and especially in times bad like this. Let that people still rejoice in your grace, in your name, in the truth that you have given us, the revelation that you have given us to see who we are. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless the Holy Name this morning, even as you approach thy word now. Break it further, make us to understand that we will be living, that Lord, Father, that we may grow in thy grace and walk faithfully, O Lord, according to thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. The weakness of Elijah. Now, there have been many questions and people are asking questions, and there's a lot of things that are happening that probably many of you do not know. But I want to share with you today and try to hopefully finish out off. There has been a lot of falling away from the faith. Alright? There are people that are disappointed by the man of God, Brother Branham, because of the thing that he said that have a lot, there were a lot of discrepancy, and the thing that he did that were not according to, that is to say, he did not practice what he preached. And over the years, and you know, as you know, that this falling away. And this falling away are not just the believers, but the preachers of the end-time message. And recently, just, well, I think last year, I think it was, because you can see that on the video. I'm going to give you the name of it, and Jonah can tap it down if you want to. On, you know, the pastor's name or the preacher's name is Tim Hughes. And he has been a preacher in the Mental Medicine for more than 30 years, 33 or 36 or something like that. And he put out his reason why he is leaving the message. And there were a few parts of it. And he put out as to give to the jury for us as a jury to see whether things are true. Brought a lot of things about what Abraham taught and the thing, the contradiction and about the clouds and this and that, which have been opposed by many in, you know, 10, 20, 30 years back. And there's one interesting part which is about 30 minutes which he mentioned about where he shows what Brother Abraham did, what he said, but he was not practicing what he preached. When I look at all this, when I hear all this, I say, well, that's nothing new. You know. And as one brother over in Australia told me, is that a lot of people do not understand what's going on. It's like a mother or a father bathing a baby in a bathtub. After bathing the baby in the bathtub, he took the bathtub and threw away the water, forgetting that the baby is in the bathtub. So he threw the bath water out, or threw the baby out along with the bath water. And that is very, very true. A lot of people are downcast. The thing is that they fail to look up. I was wondering, believers of, you know, when the preacher like him put up this video, and when he shared with the people, and many of the believers, of course, will also lead the message, and things like that. So the thing is, this is, I want to share with this today is about the weakness of Elijah. When we come to this subject of Branhamism, and people in the end time message who are people who are Branhamites, they don't like to be called Branhamites, and some are proud to be called Branhamites. Some are even proud to carry a badge that has the picture of Brother Branham on it with the halo. So, I have asked this question when I talk to many end time believers, even here in Singapore. I ask them, what do you understand when you talk about the end time message? What is the end time message? And what is the message? You know, the problem is that when people are so ingrained into everything that Brother Branham said, there is no escape from that spirit. You know, here in Singapore they have quite a number of them that I talk to, they are just same what Brother Branham said. And even when you sit and discuss about any subject, almost every statement they made, according to their understanding, according to their revelation, or they would say, according to my conviction, Brother Abraham said, the prophet said, and you hardly hear them mention anything about the scripture said, or they're trying to prove from the scripture. It's because one of the things that I understand about people who believe this message of Brother Branham is that they believe that the message and the Bible, they are the same. I have traveled to many countries and preached the word, and I heard this thing time and time again. And it's just unbelievable. And then I wanted to show them what the message is about. And they will say things against me. They will brush it away. And that is really frustrating. I want you to remember this word frustration, because we'll come to that later on. You see, when people start to lift up Brother Branham so much, they talk about the man and they talk about his utterances. And every word that come out from his mouth, they are, thus saith the Lord. Some may not say they are all thus saith the Lord, but he's a prophet of God, in and out of the pulpit, whatever he said. It's important to us, and we take heed, and so on and so forth. And I wonder about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the four gospels. They are written from the different point of view. They didn't contradict each other. But you look at the whole life span of the gospel, of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel that he preached, it's actually very condensed. He visited the homes of friends and, or the disciples' home, or even invited sometimes by the Pharisees, and sit and talk and fellowship. There are many things that were said by Jesus Christ that were not, or and many things that were done by Jesus Christ, and the Bible says they were not written down. So, the thing we want to know is that the plan, that's why I said this, the plan and the purpose of God. Do we know what God is doing? And so what on earth is this message that Brother Branham brought to us? You know, I came to the message in 71. 2 years I listened to all of that ministers from Canada, New Zealand, Australia, from America, from Europe. And all I heard is they put so much emphasis on the words of Brother Branham and make the man so great that God vindicated him, listen to what you say. And then the way they emphasize it, the problem don't make mistakes. You know, you say what the tape says and so on and so forth. Wow, and I said this before, the test version. And I was saying, wow, because you know, I'm being brainwashed by these ministers. But every time I look at the Bible, and what Brother Branham said, think about what Brother Branham said to the Bible and see what it was in the Bible. And I knew Brother Branham, there are certain things that he said they were not correct with the Bible. And yet in some place he said the same thing that was correct. So how can two statements thing, you know, sit on the same side that contradict each other? And the same thing with the four gospel. That's why we have at that time there was a debate between a Muslim imam or some scholar versus a Christian scholar, a debate over the Bible. And they pick it up, the Muslim scholar pick up all these contradictions, as they call discrepancies, between even the four gospel, how they were not. And the scholar, the Christian scholar, show him that there is no contradiction because they are seen from the different point of view. When you look at Jesus Christ from the front, you describe him from the front. If you look at you from the back, that's what you see, a different view. So, describe to me an elephant. You know, from blind man, you remember the story of the fable of the four blind men who never seen an elephant, and they were touching an elephant to feel what the elephant looked like, right? One saying, oh, he feels like a wall. And then the one that touched the tail saying, what, he feels like a snake or something like that? You know, they're all not wrong. They only have a part of it. And Brother Branham brought a message, a part. Listen here. A part of God's plan of purpose. Did he bring everything? And that's the problem where people are so indulged in it. So 2 years after hearing all that, God tested me and made me to realize, are you going to take the word of my prophet, or you want to take my sacred scripture, my word, the sacred scripture? You know, that's why I realized, I cried my way home and I opened my big fat mouth, so to speak, because I thought the problem had everything correct. Because I've been brainwashed for that 2 years. And all the time I knew I was not correct on that one. But God had to test me to pull me down. Put me to shame in front of three evangelical missionary. You know, there was a 5-minute short meeting and I cried my way home in my heart. And to this day I can never forget that event. When I was in Africa, in Zimbabwe, I want to just bring this in so you understand where I'm coming from. When I was in Zimbabwe the first time, after a few meetings, I realized that, of course, like any other country, there was back in the 1990s, there were lots of confusion. The Brahmanism spirit was working. So, in one service, Brother James Berryman took me to another town, or we, I would call it a town rather than anywhere, in away from his home. And so we are meeting there, and then in the evening, late at night, we travel home. So it was dark. We passed through villages, it was dark. We quite long, quite a while, we travel on the road. Then we came to a junction. You know, most of them in the village, and you come, you know, you just move, and hardly any junction at all, more or less. So it come when we were reaching to where we were going, Harare, we came to a junction. So no, and the car headlight pick up the stop sign in front, because it's a T junction. So we were approaching that, and then as you approach that, the driver stopped the car. And then I saw in front of me, you know, the stop sign usually is on the side or in front on the road, but in front, right in front of the T junction, there was an arrow that pointed to Harare. And it says something, I can't remember, it's 12 kilometers or something like that. You know? So, when I saw that, I took the opportunity to give a little, you know, a sermon, we'll say. I said, brother, don't move. Stop here. And the brothers were sitting in the car behind me. He says, what is it, brother Dan? I said, look at that sign. It's a beautiful sign, right? It's a beautiful sign because it's not clear written. And the brother said, yeah, it's just pointing out, right? He said, yeah, isn't that a wonderful message? I'm picking up for them to understand. Isn't that a wonderful message? Let's us just stand here and look at the message, admire the message to Harare, 12 kilometers. I said, let's just stay here all night. We are in Harare, are we not? And one of the boys said, oh, I understand now, Brother Gahan. I understand now. That's Harare's sign, but we are not in Harare. I said, that's right. The sign point to Harare. So, we are going to Harare. So, when we reach Harare, would you be seeing a sign that points back to this junction? They are saying, of course not. I said, there you are. Do you understand the message now? Brother Brian said, point to the Word of God. And then, who is the Word of God? That's Christ manifest to us. Amen. Huh? All man's message point to the Word of God. So I said, get back to the Word of God. Oh, but does the Bible, look into the Bible, does the Bible anywhere point to Brother Bam's message? Does it point to Brother Bam's message? Oh yeah, Brother Gander, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, Luke. I said, hey, that was telling you a prophecy about the man that is to come that will point us back to the Word because you are all messed up. And it's hard to try to prove that the Bible is the message. The message is the Bible. There's none so foolish as you who have eyes to see, ears to hear, but refused. Now here today, let me ask you, where is God's true church? What do you got when you talk about God's true church? Is it Romanism or Roman Catholicism? They say they are, right? They can't present that we are the modern church, but the true church. The brother prophecy told me about his uncle, who is a Roman Catholic, very strict, very, you know, traditional. They don't even agree with prophecy and even make him like a third-class citizen. Lot of tea, but not much of a, you know, tie, just because of his belief. Brother prophecy's belief. And I know, because I know a lot of Catholics, they say we are the mother church. You Protestants have left us. The Pope is in the place of Peter. Peter was the first one. And all this, we all know. So they believe they are the true church. Who else believe they are the true church? Do the Protestants believe they are the true church? If the Protestants believe they are true church, they are also funny. They are also wrong. Because you cannot pinpoint, oh, this group is the true church. That group is not a true church. You can't. It's the mystical body of Christ. And God knows those that are His. As you all know, Brother Bram said that there are three kinds of believers, right? And we know. You see. And so, alright, we have Armstrongism. You heard about Armstrongism? You heard about the plain truth? How many have heard about the plain truth? Now, many of you are not, I know that many of people are not avid readers of books and magazine or newspaper. Or when I was young back in the 60s, and the late 60s, at least someday, I came to know about the plain truth. They have this magazine called The Plain Truth by Herbert W. Armstrong. It's free. You know, they are trying to give you the plain truth, that is very plain, that is clear, it's truthful. I subscribe to the magazine because it contains a lot of prophetic, you know, understanding of their own point of view. I just were curious. So I subscribe, they're free. And also that the fact is that that magazine carries a lot of war news. Like a newspaper, a periodical. So after Herbert Armstrong died, the church, his organization split into two. And now, today we have two groups. His church is called the Worldwide Church of God. And they're the one, when split because his son, and when he died, the son was supposed to take over, and then there was another group of men. So there was some conflict. I have no real understanding of how big the conflict was. But there was this split, and then there was this new creation group called the Philadelphia Church of God. And the plain truth died. The magazine ceased to exist. But they have this magazine called the Philadelphia Trumpet. Alright? Now this is the China trend, you know. It's all, you know, this American magazine. So, the Philadelphia Trumpet. Can you see over there?
Very clear.
Okay. It's free. They print this magazine every one issue every 3 months, quarterly. And you can subscribe to it. Go to the internet and go to their website. The link is called thetrumpet.com. And you can just sign up for it for free magazine. So, I was subscribing to this years after year. It's free. And I read it because it carried a lot of news. And the person here now who takes over this believe that they are the true church. God's true church. So now we have, I want to bring up this to you so you can understand. Roman Catholicism said the true church. Armstrongism, because the person who founded it was Herbert W. Armstrong. He believed that he is a true church. His church is true. Okay? And then we have those in Branhamism. Branham don't claim that we have a true church. You get a point? But those who follow Brother Branham's teaching into extremism believe they are the true church. Or the true believer, we'll say. But what is a true believer? True believer can always come out from the Bible. You could understand the Bible, you could know everything according to it. So now, I want to say this. It is very natural for people to follow leadership. Is that right? We all need leaders to lead us. But the question is how to? And how do we know which leader to follow? Because today, look at America. The Democratic one side, and the Republican one side, and they're just going to follow this one, they're going to follow that one. Yeah, it's natural, of course, but there's an agenda. Why you want to follow this group? Why do you want to follow that group? Right, in Singapore here, why do people want to follow the PAP one, follow the Workers' Party, or whatever other party they have? What? They have agenda. Whether the agenda is good or not is
When you want to follow a group, you make sure that you have a proper agenda that is good, that is right. Not to bring, to achieve the agenda to fulfill your filthy, self-righteous desire. Right? No. We're living in troublesome times, and you know, here, not only in this magazine, they call for people to pray for Donald Trump. Even the entire message preachers that I know, they will not say that they are praying for Donald Trump, but they will say that Donald Trump should be the president. Why? Because President Trump brought peace. To bring peace to the Middle East, bring peace to the world. And Donald Trump, he make Israel, or Jerusalem, to be the capital of Israel. You know, the capital of Israel, modern Israel, is not in Jerusalem. It was in Tel Aviv. So Donald Trump say, make that the capital, and then he moved the embassy over there. So everybody was excited. Oh, Donald Trump perhaps will be the one that bring about the possibility of the third temple. You know, everybody wants to take and think of what it was supposed to be. And I said, well, what should it be? Let us go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, if you have the King James Version, this is how it reads. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Right? Be ye followers of me, even as I am follower of Christ. So, yeah, of course, we're all in leadership. But, you know, the extreme Brahma would say, you know, I follow Brahma, said everything Brahma said, but that is not what Paul is trying to tell you. Let's read other versions of the scripture which you do not have. But let me read it from the American Standard Version. It says, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be ye followers, be ye imitators of me. Let me read another version, easy to read version. Follow my example, just as I follow the example of Christ. Okay? And the Passion Translation translates. I want you to pattern your lives after me, as I pattern my after Christ. So at least you'll not understand what it is. Be ye follower of me did not say mean to say, Barabram said this, quote. Barabram said that, quote. That's not what it is to follow Brother Branham. Right? Sure. Because that man have weakness. He has weaknesses. So not anybody else. Every one of us have our own weaknesses. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Well, we read that already in our last series of messages. So let us look into what he says here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Right? Both those things which you have both learned and received. Heard and seen in me, do it. And the God of peace be with you. Those things, what are those things? Those things you have learned, received, heard, seen in me, do those things. What are those things? Verse 8, just jump to the verse above. Alright, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. What is to think? Meditate on these things. Chew on it. Go through your mind on it. If there any be of any virtue, if whatsoever thing be of any virtue, of any praise, you think of it. If there be none, don't. See the point? Meditation. Brother Melvin sent me a video clip of our modern day founder of Singapore, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew, where he was interviewed by somebody, I can't remember the name of that person. And Mr. Lee Kuan Yew was already elderly now, you know, just very old, I don't remember what is his age. And the interview centered on meditation. You know, and he was speaking about the importance of meditation. What do you meditate on, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew? So when there is a policy to make, decision to be made, he meditate. He meditate on the government, how to govern Singapore, because there are issues, right? Here in Singapore, we are all different races, right? And people of different religion and faith. If there is no proper governing, what do you think will happen here? Like what happened in many countries? And I text back to Brother Bobby and I say, the same goes to the preacher. You want to be a poor preacher? A preacher is a leader. The politician is a leader. The prime minister is a leader. The preacher should meditate on all these doctrines, on the word of God. If there be anything that are good virtues and truthful and things like that, maybe on these things. Whether this thing be true? No, to many people, to many preachers, no, just grab up our Bible and throw it out to the people. My goodness. I have seen so many times in my travel where I happen to meet other preacher, Brahmic, you know, having meetings, telling people any question that you have, please write it down on a piece of paper and I'll give you the answer tomorrow. What kind of answer did he give tomorrow? It's all the regurgitation of the statements of Brother Branham. When you want to give an answer regarding your faith, or give an answer regarding any question that's posed to you, you need to know the Word of God. You need to know. And if you don't read it, you don't study it, you're just simply regurgitating the prophets. Or even if you read the Bible and you just quote a verse, but do you understand what the verse says? It is said, we're living in this time like this, people do not fall back upon the Word of God and chew on this Word of God. Meditation. Let us go to Psalms 19. 14. Now there's a lot of scripture text to read because they are very simple and plain. I just want to brainwash you. Okay? Alright. Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Right? Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight. Okay. Psalms 49, verse 3. Psalms 49, verse 3. Now your Bible, turn to your Bible. Don't just listen to what I say. You have your sword. Oh, take it out. Draw it. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. How will you able to speak of wisdom and understanding if you don't meditate upon the Word of God? Think. Think. Psalms 1, 1 to 3. Psalms chapter 1, 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall be withered, shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Hey. This is what King David wrote. And I want you to remember this part here. This is Old Testament. Old Testament. Don't mix up with New Testament. Because in verse 2, he says, but his delight is in the law of God. Now when we talk about the law of God, it's not just the Ten Commandments. It is not just the, Levitical law. Huh? Is any law, any word that God gives to the people as a commandment, that's wrong. Right? But of course, the Ten Commandments is a basic law and they meditate upon it. You understand that? And he says in verse 3, and that man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Yeah, there are people that say, they think that God prosper them because they are rich. Because you see, brother, I believe the prophet. That's why I am wealthy. Oh, Bob, they don't say that like that. You know, you don't have, you know, the oldest woman in the world today, they live up to, she is 118 years old today, and is in Japan. The second oldest woman was in the news. She got COVID-19, and she survived through, and still happy and alive and able to talk. She's 117. Think about it. And she's a nun. God can show grace to anybody. Give the person a long life. Right? The rain fall upon the just and the unjust. Just because you are rich, you don't have need of nothing, you think that you have the truth. People think that you're based on truth. Ah, that's why I'm truth, because you know the Bible promised this, 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 and I believe this, this, this. That's why I have the truth. That's why I'm rich, wealthy, and need of nothing. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of poor people out there in the world. They are poor. They don't have to even beg, and God supplied them with food in one way or another. So you talk about what? And the Jesus guy said, look at the sparrow. They're not a toy, right? And yet God feed them. Well, we got strange people that just simply give all the good state, all the strange testimony. Psalms 119, verse 15 and 16. I will meditate in thy precept. Thy precept. Thy doctrine. Thy teaching. Whatever you say, Lord, I will meditate in thy precept. and have respect unto your ways.
Wow. Whatever you say, I respect in your way. So is it not that the message is so simple? Come out of her, my people. Come out, Mr. Babylon. Come back to the Word. Meet the bridegroom. The Word groom.
It's that simple.
Wow, what are people not doing that? They just stay with the bridegroom. I mean the forerunner, the messenger. That's why, you know, in my simple teaching, people do not want to understand. Because they have been bound by spirits in pranamism and become so fearful. Matthew 25, you know what Matthew 25 taught you? The parable? Right? The Tambourines? Tambourines! Locked up in a system! But what happened? At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. The wise and the, you know, have oil with them. Extra oil is over ready. They went out to meet the bridegroom. The foolish, they think that, oh, my oil is just sufficient. The message of Brother Bank is not even sufficient. It's only a part of God's plan. A part of the whole of God's plan. Oh, but brother, we are in the end time. This is the seventh church age. Nothing else. Oh, you give it to us already. Like many out there, they have said this to me. Brother Branham revealed everything. When I give it to them, question, they can't answer. Oh, brother, again, later on, all this other thing that comes out when they know what I preach. And they start spreading it in their church and in Africa. I hear all these things coming, even the Philippines. Well, brother, don't preach it. We don't need it. Brother, preach on the Garden of Eden and the monk of care. We don't need it. We don't need it. Whatever, brother, don't preach, we don't need it. My friend, listen to me. If you have an ear to hear, if you have wisdom, if you ever say a word like this, let me tell you this, you are brushing away part of God's word. True. That's why denominations say we don't even have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said in the book of Matthew 28:19, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's enough. God knows the heart. That's enough. But you know what? God knows the heart that you are a Christian. You call yourself born again. God knows your heart. You claim that. And he said, God knows my heart. I'm a Christian. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to give tithes. Sure. My friend, out there who believe in the prophet and brush away part of God's word just because Brother Bab don't teach it, did not teach it, and you believe it like that, you are just like the organized religion out there. And that makes you an antichrist. I didn't say that you are the antichrist, I make you an antichrist. You brush away part of the word of God, part of the word of God. And the Bible said Christ is an anointed word. You brush it away. Brush it away. Take time to meditate. You know, you talk about the great kings of all the kings of Israel. David is the one that set such a good example. He give all these thoughts, meditation. As a youth out there watching the father's sheep, bring them to the green pasture, make sure that the sheep know to feed on green pasture, safe, that the food does not that the greens out there does not contain any wild weeds that has poison. Then he will lay down and he play the harp and sing to the Lord and praise the Lord, meditate upon his word. When he became a soldier, when he became a warrior, then he became a king, he still continued to meditate. And if we Christian believers do not meditate on the word of God day and night, what did the Bible say then? You know? You are going to have no answer when people ask you of your faith. If Christ lives in you, and Christ is the Word of God, the Spirit and the Word are one. So if He's in you, that's what you would do. Psalm 119, 15 and 16 says, I will meditate in thy precept and have respite unto your ways. I will delight myself in your statute. I will not forget your word. Mm-hmm. Psalms 119, 97 to 104. Now I'm just going to bring this to you, and before we go to touch on what I want to talk about. 97, oh, how love I thy law. How I love your law. Just think about it. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Yeah, sure. Everywhere I go, the Brahma is ever with me. But I'm wiser than them. Right? Because the Word of God gives wisdom. Not mere quotes of what the Prophet said. Huh? But many people feel secure in quoting Brother Branham. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teacher, for thy testimony are my meditation. This is the verse that God gave to me when I was fasting, but when I was in the examines of God. The Bible has become my source of knowledge of what God plans to do or have planned from the very beginning, and what's will be in my generation. I have more understanding than all my teachers. That is true. The pastor there couldn't even teach me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimony are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, the old man, the old people, the big preachers. Preachers who are more senior than me, who think they know more. Because I keep thy precepts. Now it's not just to go there and boast about anything. But in any discussion with any Bible, you know, when I was in America, we had ministers meeting, many of them always send a post to me because, you know, my teaching is a bit different from what they have understanding of what Brother Branham said. They throw it out to me and just reply them. Yep. I understand more than the ancient because I keep thy precept. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precept I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You know, that's why when I hear people talk about quoting Brother Bam, this and that make no sense. It just frustrates me. And over the years, you know, just like I said this before, in Nigeria, when I was there first time and visit them and to preach to them all days, they enjoy. And after that, several years down the road, what? They start to have strange teaching. Remember I told you, remember the incident? How the book Religo was produced? Because there's so much confusion already, not telling the people apart, the churches. Number nice, call me up. Say, Brother Gad, this thing is going on. Please do something. I said, what do you want me to do? I have been there. Nigeria, how many times sent them down? And now this thing happened. They have the truth. But they want to have all a strange idea because somebody propagates something and they're not wise to sit down and learn. I said, what do you want me to do? We're going to write something. You know, I think one of the most important things I have learned is humility, to be humble. And I see Brother Abraham's life. Yep. I've seen many good preachers' life, be humble. Joshua 1, verse 1 to 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. You know, this thing should, sometime, you know, it told the Branham, it says, William Branham, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I give to you, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, or the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee in the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I can claim this verse. As God was with Abraham, God is with me. God is with the fivefold minister, with those who take a stand for the faith. Brother Andrew Perry, Brother Nice, anyone! The stand is precept of the word of God. God is with the fivefold minister. That's what Joshua means. Most represent. Brother Abraham was represented by Brother Abraham. A time. Because Moses means to draw out. And Brother Abraham minister was to draw out the people. Joshua. Is Jesus. That's what he represented. The one that gathers the people over into the word. That gathers the people unto the word, we would say. Jesus came and gathered those who believe into the house of the Father. The Bible is our kupa. The Bible is our house. Remember this? Because we want to come back to something about that. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I shall swear unto their father to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Remember the law? Okay? Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So I'm not going to turn away to follow some strange idea of the left or to the right. Take the center path. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I command thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Right. Okay, then I was going to touch on something here. You all remember the story of Ruth? what I hope that you still remember, sometimes you need to refresh yourself, the story of Ruth. Well, anyway, let me just go to Ruth so that we can just quickly scan through and pick up what I want to pick up. So now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Now here we know that in those days of the judges, there was this famine down in Judah. Okay? And this man was from Bethlehem. Remember Bethlehem, Judah means Bethlehem of Judah. Okay? Not other Bethlehem. This is, you know, that in I think if I'm not mistaken, there is a town in America called Singapore. Somewhere in Michigan, I think. I'm not quite sure, but I know that someplace, some name repeat itself somewhere. So here it is, Bethlehem of Judah, and it was Bethlehemite, so to speak. Okay, he had a wife, and he had two daughters. Because there was famine, they decided to go to Moab, the land of Moab. Huh? Oh, two sons. Mahlon and Chilion. Now here, they went up to this place, Moab. No one's Moab. Who is Moab? One of the two sons of Lot by his two daughters. Right? And there was and this Moab, they refused to allow Moses and the people to pass through. So see how bad they are? And there are people that worship all kinds of gods still. Alright, so now. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. Some, you know, Greek. I think Hebrew pronounced as Naomi. Alright, Naomi, depends on what, whatever accent you are. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And Ephrathite and Bethlehem of Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with the two sons, and they took wives of the woman of Moab. Now you get into trouble when you don't stay in your place and you sojourn to a land stranger. You marry a strange wife. All right, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And after that, Mahlon and Chilion died, and also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now this is a King James Version translation. It's written very strange. I want you to look at it all, because the problem with word translation, verse 5. Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman, who is the woman? Naomi. And Naomi was left of her two sons and husband. Sounds like she was left with the two sons and husband, right? Is that right? It sounds like the way it is read. You know what I mean? I'm left with my son and daughter. What does it mean? It means I am still with my son and daughter. So this is no good English, huh? It's that's King James, because they are literally translation, word for word. And if you don't understand it, you have a problem. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might. I mean, in verse 5 she said she lost her son and her husband. Now she rose up with her daughter-in-law, and that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people, giving them bread. It means the famine is over. Over there, you know, right? They are available food now. Wherefore she sent forth out of the place where she was, she went forth, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each one to her mother's house. Kind of strange. It means go home to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the day and with me. The Lord grant you this day, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Is it the bad English? You see the way, not the bad English, King James English. Alright?
she is saying, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband, when you remarry. Don't say her husband, your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lift up their voice and they cry. And he said unto her, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, turn again. What do you mean by turn again? Kind of funny in English, right? Turn again. No, turning means go back. Go back. Again, I tell you, turn and go home. My daughters, why would you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husband? Go home. Turn again, my daughter, go your way. For I am old to have a husband. If I should have a husband also tonight, and should bear sons, will you tarry for them till that they were grown? Will you stay with them from having a husband? Stay for them from having husband? Nay, my daughter, for it grieved me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And sometimes when you die, stay, people are hostile. Oh, God has forsaken me, God has turned against me, God has punished me, and so on and so on. You know, when you judge yourself, brothers and sisters out there, whatever happens in life, you repent or you go seek the Lord, find rest or not, and don't condemn yourself. Some people just condemn themselves. They feel that people are looking down at them and they condemn themselves. There's a way, but no, you will be thinking like that. And they lift up their voice and wept again, and offered a kiss of her mother-in-law, but Ruth clapped unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people, unto her gods. Return thou unto thy, after thy sister-in-law. Ruth said, entreat me not to go to leave thee, for we return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Hey, I like that. She's a Moabitess. She told Naomi, your people are my people. Your God be my God. But today what we have? She is following the mother-in-law. Because she married her son who died. She's willing to do that. But today we have, what do we have? We have the opposite. I'm talking about not just gender, but the fact that believers, man and a woman, courting each other, girlfriend, boyfriend, get engaged. After married in the church, or maybe before married even in the church, they disappear. The man followed the woman to where the woman wants to go. I'm a Protestant. I don't like the message you're in. Come with me. And a man without backbones follow the woman. I'm saying this very frankly. It's time that we wake up and stop giving excuses. I have overcome, no more excuses. Be the man that God wants you to be. You know, the story of Isaac, it's a good story. How he met Rebecca. He wasn't chasing after a woman. It was a father who said to Eliezer, get a woman for my son. And Eliezer was a messenger. You know, reveal everything about the goodness of Abraham and Isaac. And Rebecca fell in love. I said, love follows after truth. Not truth follow after love. Love proceed from truth. Love proceed from the word of God. For God is love. Love proceed from Him. Not the other way. Alright, so now we know this story. Ruth here, I mean not Ruth, Naomi, when there was like a famine,
Oh, just remind me, okay, Bethlehem, Judah, there's no food. And they went out there into the world to look for food. Let me just say this. They don't know how to worship God. They go out there and find God out there somewhere. Some religion. And they got themselves messed up. And here we are. Let me say this. We all have the Word of God. Well, we want to go out there looking for some religion, some truth out there. There's no truth outside the Word of God. There's no truth outside of the Word of God. But let me go and find out about this other religion. Let me just stay away from church. You know, and let me just go and see what these other religious people believe and what they do. Why do that? Since you already know, do you want to know what they believe? And notice you can go on the internet and find out what they believe. Why do you want to go and join them? Let me just go to the charismatic church and see what they believe and how they worship. Don't you know how they worship? It's all over the internet. You know, that's why we need wisdom. And here we have Naomi went up there. I mean, Elimelech went with Ruth and the sons and went out there. And then after everything was over, the son died, the husband died. Now they heard that there is food in Judah now. Hey, where is the food of God found? Remember I told you about the house of God? This is the Kupa. And Bethlehem, what is Bethlehem? What does Bethlehem mean? What does Bethlehem mean? Come on. The house of God's bread. And they left Bethlehem. I mean, there are others, the many that did not leave Bethlehem to go to Moab or another place to find food. Why would they want to go there to Moab of all places? Let's go to the book of Matthew. I want to talk about three persons here. John the Baptist, Peter, and Elijah. And I want to talk about the prophet. Hey, say, hey, what do you talk about the prophet? You dare to talk against the prophet? Hey, I did not say I speak against the prophet. You dare to speak against God? Not them, these people when they... You know, they want to treat my word. Say, you dare to speak against the prophet? You dare to contradict the prophet? I said, look, I'm very afraid to speak against the prophet. But I'm not afraid to stand and talk about the prophet and their failure. And your weakness. You think that by saying that brother made a mistake, I go to hell? To bring out the way to emphasize it to the people. Not here in Singapore, I mean, but in many places. John the Baptist. We know the Bible said, Matthew 11, 2 to 11. You know, we know that the Bible said the law and the prophet went unto John, and this grace came by Jesus Christ, right? Is that right? And what did Paul say about that? About the law. See, the law and the prophet and came unto John, went unto John, and then grace came by Jesus Christ. So we have law versus the grace. And in the day of Jesus Christ, that's what happened there. The people, the Pharisees, was holding on to the law, the law, the law, the law. And when Jesus fulfilled the law, and the law that was contrary was nailed to the cross, and pointed to us in our study in Philippians, put that aside and move on. Right? Don't keep on talking about that, don't talk about that. Yeah, you know that. You know your primary school education you have been through. Secondary school, you want to go back and keep on talking about it. Yeah, once in a while you refer back to what it says. What you remember. Yes. Huh. So I'm not speaking against the prophet. I'm just making I'm just saying the truth, stating the truth.
So Matthew 11, 2 to 11. And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he said to his disciple, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Yeah, a lot of people are offended by Christ because he seemed to be doing contrary to what the tradition were doing. And I've been doing contrary to what the Brahmins were always preaching. Come to the pulpit, say what the prophet said, say what the prophet said. And that's why people are, after a while, they get to realize that, hey, there's some discrepancy, something that's not right. And so what did they do? You know, because the Brahmins is stressing the prophet, don't make mistakes of the prophet, because they found mistakes there. They said goodbye to the message. To the entire message. Because they didn't understand the message in the first place. I'll come to that. And as they depart, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? And what went out for you to see? A man clothed in soft linen, a raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiments are in the king's houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I said to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send you my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he that is in the world. That's John the Baptist. Did he make mistake? Yes. Huh? Because he's a human. Behold the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. Two disciples follow him. Follow Christ. When he was in a prison, he started to think, my, maybe he's not. Maybe he is. Maybe this Jesus of Nazareth. Maybe he is. Maybe he is not. You know, he had this thing, a human. Okay. Now, that's John the Baptist. Let's go to Peter. Oh, that's before I go to John Peter, let me show you this here. Here is this book of the trumpet. Now, the question we have been know is, Brother Bam is known and often called Elijah the Restorer. John the Baptist was also called the Restorer. Elijah the Restorer. Remember? The disciple of Jesus Christ. And the elder was saying that Elijah must come for a restore and so on. And then we have someone in plain truth. Armstrong also. Armstrong, as far as I know, I'm not sure whether he ever proclaimed himself to be Malachi 4:5-6. But in this magazine, this is a recent one, that the son of the founder of the trumpet, I would say, whose name is Gerald Fleury, and this is the son, Stephen Fleury. I want to read to you so you can see it on the screen. And end time Elijah. Notice another teaching of Jesus in Matthew 17:10-12. He prophesied that just before he returned to rule the world, a man would come in the same spirit that had empowered Elijah and John the Baptist. That man has come. He did great things for God, and people recognized that there was something special about him and his work. In the Philippines and other nations, crowds gather to welcome him and hear him speak world leaders met with him to discuss the most important question, the human condition, the way to peace. This leader includes Anwar Sadat and literally dozens of other presidents, prime ministers, legislators, judges and executives. This man was Herbert W. Armstrong. Kings, queens, emperors, presidents and prime ministers of many nations honor him. But did the people of this of his country, the United States, honor him? Not nearly as highly. He led a church that proclaimed God's message globally, but as its largest, how did its membership compare to the American mainstream and evangelical churches? 0.1%. This is a fundamental principle of finding and following the work of God and thereby following God. If you understand it, it actually makes you a little uncomfortable. All of us have this human tendency to look at the world and even God himself according to our own ideas of right and wrong. It was true in Elijah's lifetime. It was true in Jesus' lifetime. It is true today. So, who is Elijah to this man? It is Herbert Armstrong. Yeah? And who is Elijah? Is the founder of the trumpet. After Elijah, is Elijah. So after Elijah is gone, Elijah's dead, Herbert Armstrong gone, so Gerald Furey became the Elisha. See, he said, if I were to read this, I post this, and I believe there are some grandma say, oh, that's Brother Abraham. Right? So, you know, there are others that have claimed to be the fulfillment of Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Alizan Dawi is one of them. But Alizan Dawi went to some fanaticism. And then we have Herbert Armstrong. Is he the Elijah, the restorer? Well, he is a businessman and he has built university, you know. I mean, he's a very intelligent man. You know, when we talk about the spirit of Elijah, what is the spirit of Elijah? If you look at Elijah, he's a man of the wilderness, right? And anybody having the same spirit will follow. We have Elisha. We have John the Baptist, a wild man. We have Brother Branham who goes into the jungle and meditates. He's a man of the wild wilderness. But you see, when we talk about men like Alexander Dowie, Armstrong, I don't see. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's not the miracle that makes the person Elijah. No. That's because God didn't do miracle. John did no miracle. It is the spirit and what, how they, a man of a natural, a man of wilderness, and then the spirit that holds the word of God that hit out at their system. And so when we identify Elijah, who is Elijah? Okay, now Elijah made mistakes. No? Okay, we see John the Baptist made mistakes. Okay, let us go to Peter. Okay, very quickly go to Galatians. Galatians, chapter 2. Now here we have 14 years after I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with also. I went up by revelation. Communicate with them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run and have run in vain. So I go up there, not to cause trouble, but I want to see the guys. You got a point? But neither Titus who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Because this is a circumcision issue. Because this is Galatia, and how they are foolish Galatians. Because some converted Pharisees, you know, and went over there and tell the people of Galatia, hey, you need to be circumcised, you Gentile, you must cut off the foreskin. You know, so this has been a trouble. And I, not only that, there was something going on. Why did this people try to get the Gentile to be circumcised? So here we have the answer. And that, verse 4, and that because of false brethren are the way brought in who come, who came in privately despite our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we give place by subjection. No, not for 1 hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Verse 11. And when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that Satan came from James, he did eat with the disciples, with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. And when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, that you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentile, and not as do the Jew. Why compel you, the Gentile, to live as the Jew? Why do you do that, Peter? Huh? Now, you know the Catholic Church believed that Peter was the first pope? Right? Can I know? You know? So, the Pope cannot make mistake, right? Yeah, sure. So, here was this Peter playing hypocrisy. He played the hypocrisy. There was a weakness of a man. But you know, the Catholic Church, or the Church of Rome at that time, Pope Clement claimed that this Peter is not Peter. Go and read verse 9. Verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be the pillar, perceived the grace that was given unto me, this Cephas. Who is this Cephas? And Clement said, no, that's not Peter, that's Cephas. This, you know, this, the word Cephas is a name given by Jesus to Peter, remember? Right? But Peter confessed. Jesus gave him this name. And what do you know what? No, it cannot be Peter. This must be, according to the Catholic, to the Church of Rome, Clement, Pope Clement said that it was one of the 70 disciples. Not the Peter of the 12, but the Peter of the 70. So you know, when you want to defend your Pope, your Peter, the rock, the Pope, Peter, the Pope, make him no mistake, you will give all kinds of excuses. Five ways, right? But Peter knows when not to give excuses. He keeps his mouth shut when Paul rebuked him. Think about it. Elijah, First King. We read this one, and we'll see. I never take a bit longer. Huh? First King now. Chapter 19. I want you to see here about this, something that we all know so well all the years, but there is a problem. 1 Kings 19, verse 1 to 18. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent the messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and mourn also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. You know why Jezebel was angry? Because in the previous chapter, you know, this Mount Carmel showdown? Huh? And after that, God did what Elijah wanted, sent the fire down, proved that to be true. And he had the people kill all these prophets of Baal, and Ashtaroth, 850 of them died. Ahab went and tell his wife, beautiful Jezebel. And Jezebel says, send a messenger to Elijah, I will have your head. And next verse, see what happened. And when he saw that he arose and ran for his life and came to Bathsheba, and which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there. And he went their journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father." And as he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, then came an angel, touched him, and said, "Arise, eat." He looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coal, and a crust of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and lay him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time, and touched him, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went into the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God, and came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "Why doest thou here, Elijah?" And Elijah said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altar, and slain thy prophet with the sword, and I am left, and they seek my life." And he said, God said, "Go forward and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and there was a strong wind, and ran a mountain, and break the piece and the rock before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the wind, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entry of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down thy altar, slain thy prophet with the sword, and I am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And Lord said unto him, "Go and return to the way of the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou come, anoint Hezekiah to be king," and so on and so forth. And then we read down the verse 18. When God said to him, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, and all the knee which have not bowed down unto Baal, and my mouth which have not kissed him." So now, in brief, quickly, in Joshua said, "Elijah, I'm going to take your head." Woo! And he ran. He ran from a woman. And that's what everybody was taught, that it was so. Because I want to show you here in verse 3. And when he saw that, here is where the translation went wrong. If you have any other translation, other version, it says that, and he became afraid. The King James Version did not say that. Now the problem is because of two words. You know, our King James Bible was translated by about 50 scholars. I think about 40 or 50 scholars. And they did very well, the translation. Okay? But of course, not all literal translation, word for word, can be very tricky. Now, look at this word here. Fear, afraid, frightened, whatever it is. You look at the Hebrew word. Huh? Look at the Hebrew word. From Strong's Concordance, number 3372. How is it translated differently? The first one is Yara. The second one is Ra'al, which is also translated as to see in Strong's Concordance 7200. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So, you know, when King James said, when he saw that, but other translation said that Elijah became afraid. So it has been that problem. So, was Elijah really afraid? Or when Elijah saw the problem, what was the problem? He had preached against Israel for forgetting God's covenant, right? He said that to the Lord. Huh? They forsake it, they throw down your altar, and have to kill all these false prophets and all that. And now they want my life. Ah! You know, Robert Isaac. He threw his hand in there, frustrated. Frustrated. And he ran away. Just ran away. Ran away from who? Just then. That's what we'll all be taught, right? It's a very common thing, you know, tradition. He ran away from Jezebel. But the whole story, actually, the more I study on that, it doesn't really make sense, actually. Why would he be afraid of Jezebel? Huh? Yeah, Jezebel wanted his head. He probably sent a whole group of soldiers to want to cut him out. So, of course, he wanted to protect his own life. But he was actually so much what was going on, he ran away. He actually could have, from Mount Carmel or Jezreel where he was, he could have actually just run about, what, how many, I don't know how many miles, he would talk probably in two or three hours, and go to Judah. Now this is the then north, ten kingdom in the north, right? You understand? Under Jeroboam. That was the first king. He could have run over to Judah and be protected there. But when he ran all the way past Judah, down all the way to the wilderness, so far down below the Dead Sea. And then go and sit in the cave. You know, sometimes, you know, I don't bring the prophet here. Like John the Baptist, he was confused a little bit out there in the prison. And here was this man who did all that, and I said, they want my life. I give it up, Lord. That's why now I understand that all the years that I've been preaching and getting this truth out, how the people, you know, they accept, then they ran away and then get confused again. And people are not here. It can get very frustrating. Here in Singapore, likewise, the same. In our fellowship, the same. People go and they come, go and come. Right? Choose you this day whom you shall serve. Choose you this day what you know to be truth and hold on to it. Now we come to the last one. Quickly, Brother Branham. You know, here was a man who being Mr. here, right? Elijah. And here was Peter, who played a hypocrite. The first apostle to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach the gospel. Think about it. Now, Brother Branham, he preached very strongly. About what? Against having a Christmas tree during Christmas. He preached very strong against it. He said, that's paganism from the book of Jeremiah. You people wrapped up the gift on Christmas there, put under the tree and right there the tree and so on. Don't do that, that's paganism and all that. You can read it. But he himself have a Christmas tree in the house. Wrapping up gifts also for his daughters. Well, so he's a hypocrite. He didn't practice what he preached as a preacher. So out goes the bathwater and the baby. Right? Wow. Peter. Wow, I love the gospel. I love the message of the book of Acts. Peter preached the first message. Wow! Well, he's a hypocrite. Huh? Threw away the whole Bible. Right! Elijah! Wow! What he did. All the miracles. And the woman and said, I'm going to have your head. And the soldiers come. Oh, let me die here, Lord. Let me die. What? God said, you stand up there. No, stand up there. And what do you hear? A wolf quick. God is not there. So what's all this hullabaloo all about? Vroom! Fire! God is not there. But there, the whirlwind, whirlwind is scary too. But God's not there. And God speaks in a still small voice. That's why, you know, we need to meditate.
If there be any truth, then there be any virtue, honesty, and so on and so forth. Paul said, think on this, think. Don't look at my servants, they make mistakes. Is it not? And God knows how to deal with the servants. If you know the message, you'll be at peace.
Amen.
You'll be at peace.
Hallelujah.
It's not this man or that man. It's not Wesley, it's not Branham, it's not Luther. Hey, they're all servants of God. Receive him whom God sent. Believe on him whom God sent. Praise the Lord for that. That's part of God's plan here and there. Every one of us is part of God's plan and takes our parcel. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord bless you all. Gracious Heavenly Father. Yeah, Lord. We are human. And because of the fall, Lord, there's so many things, oh Lord, that came down all those ways. And we have all that trade that is just getting us into a battle in the mind, giving us, Lord, a lot of emotions and frustrations and all. But Lord, we thank you for that holy word. It is King David said, Lord, meditate on these things, meditate upon that precept. Yes. It is no longer just the law of Moses, but it is the Lord of the gospel of life. The spirit of the law of life that you have given us in Christ Jesus, your word. So let us meditate on that thing. Meditate on that precious word of yours, Lord. And if there be anything that truly, Lord, of virtue, honesty, and of praise, then we know, Lord, that will help us through in these days of confusion, in this troublesome world itself, Father. Not just politically, naturally, physically, militarily, but spiritually, Father. I pray that, Lord, you bless every one of us. Bless the world and take it further, Lord. And bless all the here. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.